Greetings, magnificent souls, to the Lily Beulie podcast, where we have open and honest discussions about ourselves. This is your host, Lily Beulie, and I'm honored to have conversations here with thought leaders, visionaries, healers, and even solo conversations with myself about things I am currently reflecting on. This is a place where we break down, break away, and break through our emotional trauma, allowing ourselves to be healthy, be happy, and live a peaceful life. We are tired of being sick and tired. We are tired, but we are not giving up. We know that there is something magnificent inside of us. And because we are fighting daily, hourly, and by the minute, fighting ourselves, our jobs, our unhappiness, we have to do things differently. We have to break the cycle. We don't have a million chances. We have to be happy now. We have to find a way. So how do we do that? How is that possible? If you look around at what society is telling you, they tell you that what we're doing is impossible. Yet it's happening every single day. And it's happening through the practice and the love that we call awakening the magnificent soul. We are all magnificent souls. And these are our stories of healing. Today in episode 159, I welcome Jen Peters to the show to chat about coming home. Before we get into the show, don't forget to let me know your thoughts about this episode or anything you would like me to cover on future podcasts by dropping me a DM on Instagram. Remember, it is a safe place and I would welcome the discussion. And also a request, if you are enjoying the show, please rate and share and review so we can get the word out to more and more souls who want to heal. And now on to today's episode. Jen Peters is a gifted multidimensional healer and author of Coming Home, The Path to Healing Your Inner Child. Jen's own personal experience of fully healing following decades of codependency, narcissistic abuse, and deep childhood trauma has provided her with the indelible experience and depth of knowing that only comes from walking the path herself. Please enjoy this conversation with Jen Peters. All right, Jen, welcome to the podcast. I'm so honored to have you here. We have been friends, at least socially, on the socials for a while now, and I love you and I love everything that you stand for. You have so many great things in the works. I'm so excited to have you on here.
Oh, that is amazing. Thank you so much, Lily. And I have been wanting to come on your podcast for actually years now.
It has been years. It literally has been years.
I know, and I've just loved watching you grow as well and all the people that you're helping through your work. So thank you, and thank you for the invitation.
Yes, thank you. Well, I saw on your socials that you were coming out with a book, and I was like, okay, it's about time now. You know, we need to make this happen. And so you're here. So I know that we're going to talk about that today. But you, for anyone who doesn't know you and that's listening, you focus a lot on childhood traumas, attachment traumas. You focus on hidden blocks. And it seems like this book is just a culmination of everything that you learned and that you teach. So I'm super curious, like, how did you get into this? You know, I know a little bit about your backstory, but I would love for you to share, if you're open to it, with the audience about how you got here, how you got to this beautiful place of healing and helping others heal as well.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. What an introduction. So how did I get here? So I actually had quite a lot of childhood trauma myself growing up. Of course, I didn't know that at the time. We don't, although some people are aware of it, but most of us don't know. It's just our normal. And through that trauma, I sort of got to teenage years. There was a lot happened in my teenage years, including multiple gang rapes. I actually do touch on that in my book. And so by the time I got to my 20s, I really was, I had such incredibly low self-esteem. I was extremely codependent. I was all of the things, and my relationships, my friendships kind of reflected this. But again, because it was my normal, I had no idea that life could be anything else. I ended up meeting what turned out to be my husband for we were together for about 14 years, and there was a lot that sort of happened in that space. He's quite narcissistic, and of course that's the perfect pairing with the codependency. And so really by the end of that end of our marriage, I was completely broken. There was a lot of, I mean, it was a huge amount of self-abandonment. Also, to be fair, I, looking back, don't really particularly enjoy looking at how I was back then either. It definitely was not all my husband. But by the time we got to the end of that, I was just completely broken. There was a lot of infidelity. There was physical violence. There was a huge amount of drug taking on my part. I got to the point where I was high most days for years because it was the only way I could cope with what was going on. So we ended up separating, and a friend of mine said, "You need to see this healer." And she'd been saying it for months, actually, and I didn't even know what a healer was at that point. So I went along to see this healer. I actually went to book an appointment, which is a very codependent thing to do, for my husband to see, if she could fix him, then it would fix the relationship, basically, is my thinking. And of course, that's not how things work. So she was wise enough to say, "Actually, I think I need to see you. So we'll do one session." And honestly, I haven't actually counted exactly back. It'd be at least 13 years now. I still remember that session vividly. Like, that session changed my life. That was the turning point in my life. Yeah, it was. I could literally, I walked in one way, I walked out being able to see that the rose-tinted glasses were off, basically. And so I continued to see my healer for 5 years. I went to see her actually weekly for 3 years, and then every 2 weeks for 2 years. So I did extensive work with her. Her and I do work quite differently, I have to say. But that's where I started to realize that I was riddled with trauma, and actually, so are many people. It wasn't too long into my healing journey where maybe a few months where I started to actually really feel an actual liberation and spaciousness I have never had never at that point noticed before or experienced. And compared to the constantly being triggered and constantly in torment inside and outside, that was like an absolute, I don't know, it was like an oasis to somebody who was, desperate for that hydration. That's what it was like for me. And it was in that moment when I really realized as well that, my gosh, other people need to know that this exists, because people don't know that this is how you can feel, because you don't know what you don't know, right? And so that was what really activated that I need to help other people in this way. But I didn't say anything for years about it because I was very much in my low self-worth as well at that point. It's like, who am I to think that I could help people in this way? So yeah, so that's really how this started. And we did a lot of dissolving of trauma around codependency. And ultimately, the reason I was in the relationship that I was because of my codependency, right? And the way that we change that, the way that we move out of those dynamics, is we dissolve the codependent patterns. And the way we dissolve those codependent patterns is through inner child work. And so that's where I've started to, that's where I began to specialize in inner child trauma, because actually, I don't want to say in all cases, but in nearly all cases, inner child trauma and our programming that we received at that time and the beliefs and patterns we formed as a result, that is sitting at the core of pretty much everything. It doesn't matter what it is that you are struggling with as an adult, that's most likely sitting at the core. So that's where I've begun to specialize in what I specialize in.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad that you have specialized in that. And 13 or so years ago, you went to that appointment for him and not for you. And then you came out.
Crazy, right?
Crazy, but not crazy, because I completely understand that. And I know people that are listening understand that as well. Isn't it
Yeah.
funny how sometimes we want better for other people, but we don't want better for ourselves?
Well, that's
Sometimes.
something I see a lot with codependency in particular,
Absolutely.
actually, is, and that's one of the things that we sometimes why we struggle to heal with codependency, because we want to give it to everybody else first. But the invitation is, of course, is bringing that back into ourselves. And also, of course, you don't realize at the time, but the way that we change our outer world is by healing our inner world. Like, it really is. Don't matter what is not working in our outer world, we can resolve that by healing whatever's, or bringing into alignment whatever's out of alignment within ourselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have a question. So I'm curious what your take is on this, because when I, like I told you before, this podcast has been around since 2018. The very first episode was "What is Codependency?" And I always called it like Baby Lily. Like I called myself Baby Lily because that was Baby Lily when she first started her healing journey. And I just read definitions of codependency. So I'm curious with you, Jen. I always found the definitions out there of codependency inadequate, because based off the experience that I was having with myself. Have you noticed that at all for you? And if so, how would you define codependency? I have mine, but I would like, I can say that first, or you can go first. It's up to you.
Yeah, no, go for it.
Yeah, well, the way that I experienced codependency, and you know, like I said, I did a lot of work, I did a lot of healing, I did a lot of reading, was really just a disconnection from myself, right? We're talking like that was the definition that really made sense to me, because I didn't have self, I didn't have needs, I didn't have wants, I didn't have desires. You know, you talk a lot about self-abandonment. So I'm curious for you, have you like is that anything that came has come up for you in your journey or your work with others?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that is definitely what I would consider a major hallmark of codependency, is that lack of sense of self. But it's that constant trying to, it's a constant self-abandonment, whether it be by pleasing others before yourself, by giving to them when you need something first too, by putting their needs and their feelings before your own. It's that constant putting other people in front of you, so that it, and so in a sense, you're right around the disconnection from the self. The curious thing, though, that I've noticed with codependency, and it's interesting, I've evolved on this journey as well, as we all do. And there was a time, I remember hearing this years ago and being almost slightly triggered by this, but I do see it quite differently now. Through codependency, we're often actually trying to get our own needs met through other people. If I please them, if I make them happy, if I do X, Y, Z for them, then they will see me, then they'll choose me, then they might do this for me. It's very interesting. Actually, so codependency is a lot of that as well. But ultimately, that is, it's our inner children trying to survive. Our inner children have learned to do these things in order to navigate the path when they were children, and they're still doing it. That's really what's happening. So it's not bad or anything like that, but it's just we could be living in a lot more alignment, and that is a complete game changer when we
Totally.
do.
Yeah, totally. Well, let's transition to the work that you do, you know, with the inner child healing and also the book. Why this book? How did this come into fruition?
That's so interesting that you asked, and I know that you won't know this. So, okay, so how did it come into fruition? Literally, New Year's Day of 2023. So it was about 7 a.m. on the 1st of January. I connect often, very regularly, actually, with I call him Master Yeshua, some will say Jesus. And so And also with Mother Mary and Mary Magdalene. And this is outside of religion for me. This is not a religious thing. They are, in my view, they are sitting above our man-made religions. However, Master Yeshua came to me 7 a.m. in the morning, and he was different than what he normally is. He was very direct, and I actually channeled 5 or 6 pages from him. I just wrote because I knew this was odd. This is not what he normally does in the way that he normally does it. But he was very direct and said that my tenure with God is to begin today. From today onwards, you will do X, Y, Z, and basically serve. And it was very profound, and I'm very grateful that I wrote his message as he was speaking. But within this, he also said that I am to write this book. It basically could be I just needed to write the book on what I know, and that he was going to download particular codes into this book, which he has done so. And the codes are around unity consciousness. So as we read this book, it is going to be activating the unity consciousness within us that already resides within each of us. So that is actually how this book came about. I wasn't sure whether I was going to ever share that publicly, but I guess here we are sharing it.
So is the unity consciousness, from what you're understanding, like from a human perspective, how can you, like, is it, I'm assuming it's about healing, right?
Well, if you think about it, we are in duality here right now. Okay, so there's black, white, good, bad. There's duality in everything that we do. So we are ascending at this time as humanity is heal. Sorry, humanity is ascending at this time. It may not look like this. That's why we're seeing the shadows, just like we would individually if we were doing our own individual healing work. We have to see these shadows and go into those shadows to be able to heal, right? That's exactly what we're seeing on a worldwide stage right now. And this is part of the process as we ascend. So we are moving from a place of duality into a place of unity. Now, when we think about our healing, also, when we carry trauma, and I've yet to come across anybody in any walk of life who does not have trauma, even though they don't think they do, we do. And that trauma is what keeps us from ourself. Like with codependency, for example, we may have a belief that I need to abandon my needs in order for me to be okay, right? So the belief that I need to abandon my own needs to be okay, that is a piece of trauma, and that is keeping us separate from the truth of who we are. So as we dissolve that trauma, then we come back into union with ourselves. So when we can bring ourselves into union, we are going to be operating from that space. And so the unity consciousness template, that is part of it. That is not the whole, but that is part of it.
I love
I
it.
hope that doesn't
I love it.
too confusing.
Girl, you can never be too deep on this podcast.
Oh, good.
It's amazing. That makes complete sense. It makes complete sense, based off what I know about trauma, fractured self, different parts. That makes complete sense. And then the book, which is Coming Home, The Path to Healing Your Inner Child. What a beautiful book. Is part of what you just said of bringing everyone in back into self, which is back into unity and communion, I guess you could say, or something like that.
Yes, that's right. So the first part of the book, I've included my story in there because I've got a large following, and I haven't shared everything, not for any particular reason, but there's a lot of stuff there, and I wanted to share more about me personally, but also in particular, I want people to see that how something in childhood or something as a baby actually evolves and then begins to manifest and play out in your teenage and adult years, and how that later affects your relationships. I want people to see how that thing that they didn't think was such a big deal actually impacts later on, so that people can, I guess, the reader can actually get a bird's eye view of how this happened in my life. And
Mm-hmm.
also, of course, I go through my own healing journey as well, and what brought me to doing what I do now. And then the bulk of the book, I focus on the 12 primary themes of inner child trauma. And I've done about 11,000 hours now of purely of inner child healing in the subconscious mind. So I've done a lot of work in that space. And so what I see is sometimes slightly different. It's a slightly different angle than a more academic approach. But this, as I say, is born from 11,000 hours of actually doing the job. So I go into each theme of trauma, such as abandonment, attachment trauma, not good enough, shame, rejection, low self-worth, all of those main big players. And then each theme looks at what is that trauma, how it comes about, what the signs are in babies and children, so that as a parent we can see, hello, that looks a bit like this, and so you can start dealing with it now. And then I go through an actual step-by-step process where you can begin to actually heal this trauma within yourself. So there's 12 chapters specifically for the 12 themes. So it goes into quite a bit of detail there. And of course, there's anecdotes and little notes, side notes as they came up as I was writing, just to help parents in particular, but also others as well. So it's a pretty comprehensive guide, I have to say, but the intention is that it's a healing tool. It's a self-healing tool, so that you can do it at your own pace, in your own home. You've got the tools and the techniques to use.
Oh, I love that. I love, I think the thing that excites me the most is the way that you're connecting. You know, you're saying like there's a through line there, and I believe this as well. And this, I've seen this in my healing and the work that I've done with my clients as well, is that there's always a through line of whatever thing that you're experiencing, whatever behaviors, actions, thoughts, beliefs that are happening in your daily life, there is something, there's a through line, you know, way back then. And personally, I think the problem right now with personal development is we kind of just get stuck in just knowing what it was and then not healing it. And I love how you're connecting, these are some signs, because I do that too with, I don't know if you've seen, like I have the feminine dating archetypes, and I do that as well with like, okay, you're seeing this, then that means that you probably in the past, you probably had some abandonment, or had, you're maybe you're not seeing or hearing yourself, you know, and you know, et cetera, et cetera. But I love that it's multidimensional in that way. I love that.
Yeah, I think that's really important. That's such a great point that you raise, because I think so many people are walking encyclopedias, particularly around narcissism, actually. Walking encyclopedias, absolutely everything there is to know about the topic, about your own triggers, your traumas, and where they came from and what they look like. But an intellectual knowledge, that's the top 5%. The trauma itself is in the subconscious. That's why we need to work in the subconscious mind to actually dissolve this trauma. And it literally dissolves. When you've got the right tools, it does dissolve. So what triggered you before, or what held you back before, or what held you in that pattern before, literally is not there anymore. You will remember that there was a particular trauma, you know what it was, but it has zero emotional hold on you anymore. So that's the problem that I'm seeing, is that modalities are not going deep enough. And an intellectual understanding does not actually dissolve the trauma. You just know everything about it. That's all.
That's so true. I've experienced the dissolving, but for me, the way that I've experienced it personally in my journey is a new relationship with it. Like I can still, like I'll still have the triggers, or it's not that they go away for me at least, but they manifest differently and I respond to them differently. You know, like one of what I've realized through my development is like one of my two of my biggest values for myself is to show up and speak up which of course were the two things that I was never able to do in, you know, in childhood or in my relationships. And so I love that. And I'm completely on board with that. It does feel like it's dissolved, for me. And it's like I have like a, it's like a more of a kindness and compassion towards it, even when it comes up. Does that make sense?
Beautiful. I love it. Yes. I love it.
Yeah. Well, I'm really curious about, you know, it sounds like maybe that intellectual thing that we were touching on about, you know, people being very intellectualized about modalities, about healing, about knowing, but then not being able to get into the subconscious. That seems like maybe it's a block to healing. Is that true? And are there any other blocks that you've noticed with healing or anything that you help in particular that you see with the clients that you help?
Yeah, the intellectualization, it keeps us in the part of the brain where the trauma is not. And the problem is the patterns and the beliefs and the trauma sit in the subconscious and in the body. So no amount of understanding it or even strategies is going to prevent those patterns from playing out. Or if they do, it's going to be a lot of conflict. Like you're still going to have that strong emotional charge wanting to do something, but stopping yourself from doing it. So one of the to answer your question, I guess one of the blocks that I see, it's not really a block, but people don't have the tools. They, you know, we have tools, but you know, it is a case of actually finding tools that work really well for you. So there are not a lot of tools that go deep enough, from what I see. And I also know that from my clients, because most of my clients have worked with multiple different therapists and psychologists and psychotherapists before, but they just haven't been, they know that there's more there that they haven't been able to access and unlock. So it's the depth is what we're looking for. But one thing I will say, I don't see it so much anymore, but I used to see it a lot when I was starting out, blame. It's still sitting there actually blaming other people for what's happened. And the fact is, they have done some terrible things quite often. It's not about absolving them, but when we are looking outward like that, which can happen with codependency, and I can tell you, I spent at least 2 years absolutely just and stuck in that space of victimhood and blame. You can't move forward when you're in that space. The key to moving forward is actually looking at what is my participation in this? What part of me actually went back after multiple affairs? What part of me stayed there after being assaulted? And it's not a blame, it's not victim shaming or blaming either. It's just like, hang on a minute, it's actually very empowering. Let's look at what part of me is allowing me to do this. And you will find there will be an inner child trauma sitting in there, saying, I'm not worth anything more, or any kind of relationship is better than none at all. Because if I don't have one at all, then everyone else is going to know that I'm no good as well. You know, there's those types of beliefs sitting underneath. So that's where the
Absolutely.
power is.
Absolutely. I used to have all of, when I first started my coaching business, people would just women would just drop in. I'm sure this used to happen to you too for some reason. I don't know. Maybe not. But women would just drop in, you know, my DMs on Instagram and be like, "How do I make my partner change? How do I make them communicate more?" And finally I got to the point of like, "Look, there is nothing that you can do to make this person change." You know, like, and like you said, like we have to accept the responsibility that we have, or you, like you said, there is no going forward from that. And it's like, it's almost a power thing, like, you know, claiming your power. If you're giving your power to someone else, and not claiming, you know, again, what our responsibility is, there's no growth in that. So I completely agree.
Yeah, I mean, I remember being with somebody for I knew him for a long time, for well over a decade. Anyway, we were off and on and that kind of thing. And I recognized in the end that this is not serving me. This is not what I thought it was. It's not going to go where I thought it was. But what part of me is accepting this? And I remember sitting there one afternoon and just doing my own inner child work, what I do with my clients. And there were three key beliefs that were actually continuing, that were causing me to continue being attached to him, and the idea of what it could be and so on. And it was absolutely fascinating. This is somebody I had been very, very close to for well over a decade. And this one afternoon, I cleared the three attachments that were keeping me attached to him, and that was it, gone. The soul contract was very clearly done, and it's been at least 5 years now, zero looking back. And yet this is somebody I could not let go of. And so it's not so much, why isn't he changing? Why isn't he showing up for me? It's like, hang on a minute, why aren't I showing up for me? What part of me is saying yes to this?
Exactly. Yeah, so beautiful. Well, I could talk to you for days and days and days on end. And I so appreciate your work. We have so many similar values. I think you're my people, and this is how I know, is because you've done the depths on yourself. You've gone there. And I think that that is really what makes a really healing practitioner. And I raise my hand to that, because I'm also, you know, that's one of my gifts as well. And I'm also, you know, on that level as well. And I just really appreciate you. Anything open for you that maybe we didn't cover, that is on your heart, or anything you'd like to share?
Look, firstly, thank you so much for inviting me on here. I could talk all day with you. And again, I think there's just such a beautiful alignment between us. You know, and I see you, I see the work that you've done too, and you raised such a great point around, you know, around it being so important that whoever you happen to be working with or taking guidance from has actually done the work, and they are where you want to be. Because there's a lot of people that are operating, and from the best of intentions, of course, but there's a lot of trauma still sitting in there, which can actually sort of help make us stall. But I just want to I do want to say that no matter where you are on your journey, like really, truly, no matter where you are, there is absolutely always a way forward. And I can absolutely promise you that there is so much here for you. Every step forward that you take on your journey, and your journey to coming home to the truth of who you are, is going to expand and amplify the goodness in your life. So every step you're taking is making a difference. There is just so much here for you.
Absolutely. And I know that was encouraging to listeners, because I invite people to have conversations with me in the audience. And I know that everyone out there, either they've been listening since 2018 or they're new to the podcast, but they are absolutely on a healing path. Yeah. So thank you so much for that encouragement. Let us know, where can we find you on social? Where can we find the book? Any other things that you're working on that we didn't talk about?
Oh, thank you. So I'm on Instagram primarily, at Jen Peters _ soul guide _ healer. Be aware, actually, there are some fake accounts copying mine. I've got around about 125,000 followers on there. So if they don't have that kind of following, it's not me. So you can find me there or on www.jen-peters.com. My book is going to be launched. That's Coming Home, The Path to Healing Your Inner Child, will be launched on my 50th birthday. Yay. On the 25th of February. And there will be pre-orders available before that as well.
Beautiful. So
all the information on my page.
Beautiful. And I'll link them in the show notes as well.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. It's such a beautiful space that we had today. Thank you so much for coming on, Jen. I really appreciate you.
It's absolutely my pleasure. And thank you so much for the beautiful work that you're doing in the world.
Thank you.
Okay, my love. Take care.
Okay.
Bye.
So, how much did you love this conversation with Jen? When we tell you that this podcast recording was years in the making, it was years in the making. We are huge fans of each other. Jen is an amazing soul. Clearly, she's my people because she has walked the walk, talks the talk, has been through it and through her shadow sides, done her healing so she can take people through the magnificent healing that she offers. So I really, really hope that you enjoy this conversation with Jen. And I am so just enamored by her growth and her healing. And we've known each other, like I said, for years. And so it's just amazing to have her in this space together with her. As always, don't forget that you are loved and supported, that you are perfect as you are, that you can still work on yourself and still love yourself at the same time. Don't forget that your heart can be open, but it may just need a little protecting. So, how do you protect your heart and be open? That is the healing work. A few things before we close up today. Don't forget to rate and review the show. By doing so, you help more and more people get access to the show because it comes up on their feed. Please support the show. If you have been around for a while or if you like the vibe here, I would love some support with the show. You can elect to support the show with 99 cents a month, $4.99 a month, or $9.99 a month. And all of that goes towards energy expended in creating this beautiful space and team production. And I love coffee, so I wouldn't mind a coffee. And don't forget to take the Feminine Dating Archetype quiz if you have not yet, if you are a woman and single, and even if you're in a relationship and you're seeing patterns that you don't necessarily like to see. Take the Feminine Dating Archetype quiz. It's in the link in the show notes to reveal your blocks to love and find your true love match. And don't forget again that you are loved and supported. And I will see you in 2 weeks. See you then.